Our scripture text this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians. It is really kind of a dedication to the idea of Pentecost when the Spirit came upon the apostles and they began to speak languages that everyone understood and everyone felt bonded together, even though they were from many different nations present in Jerusalem at the time. This from Paul. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the very same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the very same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to that same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of that one Spirit. The word of the Lord. Sometimes I think we get very confused when we hear a reading like this, when he talks about wisdom and knowledge and gifts of tongues and all those kinds of things. You have to remember that this goes back to the first century in the first century church when they were merging together with different cultures. People were coming in from different traditions and they all were looking for some kind of experience or validation of who they were. The gift of the Spirit is something that has been universal from the very beginning of creation. I don't believe it just happened in the time of Christ. Because the creative Spirit of God, if you believe that God has anything to do with the universe and the birth coming into our own being, then the Spirit of God has been alive longer than anything else. It doesn't hold time. It's bigger than all of us. I guess the scientists translate the gift of the Spirit into the Big Bang to explain what happened as far as the universe goes. But that universe, as it continues to expand and expand and expand, before somewhere a billion years from now, it starts to contract, according to scientists, then obviously there's something very, very momentous that took place. That little big sign of the Big Bang theory that they use to express life, etc., goes back to a small room in Jerusalem where these guys who spent their time with Jesus before he died are suffering a great deal because not only has he died, they came back to talk to them, but now is gone together altogether. He's gone, he ascended to heaven, as the scripture says, which means he is taken bodily away, which brings me to the first point I want to make this morning. This has everything to do with making sacred the body, the human body. You don't see it on the surface. But when Paul talks about the body of Christ, look into the other things Paul has said. And what Paul is underscoring is one of the great traditions or understandings of humanity in the first century church was that because of the philosophy of Plato and the development of different other Greek philosophers, that the body was something that was really a waste of time. Reality was beyond the body, and we are only living shadows down here. So the body had absolutely no respect as it exists. Especially since their experience of death, people being buried or dying, and they decompose. The old phrase of dust to dust, ashes to ashes, kind of came to describe really what life was all about. But when you add in the idea of the resurrection, more especially the spirit alive, and Jesus said, and this is one of the most important things Jesus ever said, was, the spirit will go wherever the spirit will take you. No one can control it. No one knows where it comes from. No one knows where it's going, but it is going to lead you where the spirit will lead you. That's earth-changing, because then he qualifies those spiritual movements, those changes that the Spirit brings about, as a description of the body of Christ. Not the Spirit of Christ, not the ethereal Christ, the body of Christ. Underscoring that humanity in our very physical being is an experience of God. And never again should the body ever be criminalized, so to speak, or demeaned in any way, because the wisdom of the Spirit in the first century church decided that the body was good enough to describe the experience of Christ. Now, you know and I know that by the third century, all that got washed away. And we got hung up on sin and bad things, and we became a people seeking our own personal redemption as opposed to the community of life who came together to express to the world the incredible gift that God has given to each one of us, and that we are all brothers and sisters around the world. Well, that all changed. And in the third century, we began focusing on sin. We began thinking that there's something wrong with us, that we have to do something to get God's love. God could not possibly love us the way we are because look at us. We have physical needs that we act out on. We do things to each other that are not really savory. Human bodies interact with human bodies and you get lots of tensions. And so it was decided that somehow, in order to get God's attention and God's love, you need to go to a monastery or a convent, pull yourself into a cave, and dismiss yourself from reality because there's no other way that you could conquer the body. And in later understanding of the body, we decided that sexuality was the biggest sin of all. From the very onset to the very end, sexuality was wrong. Now I'm going to stop there, and I want to change gears. Back when I was growing up, and that's a zillion years ago, we had an understanding of the Trinity, which, by the way, next Sunday is Trinity Sunday, and Shannon's going to talk to you about the Trinity, and it should be most interesting. Parenthesis closed. When I was a kid growing up, I believed that the Holy Spirit was the eyes and ears of God walking behind me, over me, shadowing me at every moment to make sure that I was doing what God wanted me to do. And when, for some reason, something went wrong, I ran to the confessional to have God forgive that so that the Spirit could once again hover over me in the guise of my guardian angel or whomever. But I was being taken care of. It was really about me. I had to save myself because who knew what you were doing, and I don't care what you were doing, and I don't care how sinful you were. I'm worrying about myself because my salvation depended, my soul depended on my doing what the Spirit was telling me to do. Advanced 75 years. I don't believe that anymore. I came to understand that there's something much bigger than me. Surprise. That somehow there's something more important, there's something magnanimous that has nothing to do with me and yet continues to make me follow a path that challenges, that sometimes hurts, that sometimes is very confusing, that sometimes experiences abandonment. It's that whole journey we talk about having faith, that somehow God really does care. Not just about me, but about everybody else as well. Have you ever considered And all of us, I think, do this because it's normal. When I approach God, or I approach the idea of God, or I'm looking for something from God, whether it's in time of trial or illness or despair, whatever, however God enters into my purview of life, we all come with the idea that God is going to pay special attention to me. And we say, of course, God loves me. At least we live with that thought. Though sometimes we doubt it, God loves me. And I'm a fairly lovable person. And in spite of all the things that I've done and all the things that may have been wrong, God still loves me. And the more invested you are in your life and the older you get, the more you realize that if that's true, God has got to have myopia to look at me and think that I'm somehow lovable. Because throughout my life, I certainly have become quite a character. I mean, maybe the character everybody knows God would love. But what about the character in my head that shows up in my perspective on the world? What about my ideas about salvation that really has a lot to do with me to the exclusion of everybody else? And you know, I can do that because my culture and the circumstances in which I live encourages that. Because we've already decided that unless we think the same thing, we can't be friends. Unless we have the same politic, we can't have a discussion and come to some kind of agreement for something better. That somehow our religious differences really, really keep us from acknowledging each other. I sent a congratulation note to a Muslim friend of mine on the building and dedication of the new mosque that you see on 84. You know, to my surprise, he doesn't belong to that mosque. To my embarrassment, he told me he belongs to the Albanian mosque, which is on Raymond Street in Waterbury. And I felt like, well, what a dope. We have these ideas that somehow the people out here don't really matter when the chips are down. And when it comes to eternal life, the last thing I'm going to worry about is what happens to you. I'm concerned about me. And in this me world, we are finding many, many, many more reasons not only to dislike each other, not only to ignore each other, not only to avoid connection with each other as human beings, but also even thinking about hurting each other because I know I'm right and I know you're wrong. Sounds like the same old, doesn't it? And I'm going to say the same old response. There's an awful lot of this book that has validity and much more of it that doesn't because it's historical, it has nothing to do with reality, blah, 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 blah. But the wisdom behind this book suggests, as I chose the cover of the bulletin, now you all turn to the cover of your bulletin, and it says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Not on all Christians, not on those who believe, not on those who think the same way I do, not on those who keep the same hours and have the same ideas and the same morality and the same standards that I cherish. On all flesh. I believed that when I was growing up, the Spirit meant one thing. I'm coming back to where I left off. When I got to the seminary, it was Vatican II. And I was all hoopla, as we all were, about the Spirit moving and changing the church. And back then, I know you probably weren't involved with the Catholic Church, but understand this, what's going on right now in the UCC is exactly what took place in the 1950s and 60s. And in that time, all of us who began to listen to the theologians gathering from all over the world to talk about what needs to happen in Catholicism, they all came up with this wonderful, wonderful series of documents that sent us as new, youngly ordained priests out there to change the world. The Spirit was sending us out there with a mission, and we were going to make such a difference that the church would be renewed almost to the same spirit as that first day of Pentecost when the Spirit sent it upon the apostles, and they had courage, and they had faith, and they had strength, and they went out and changed the world they knew. And 4 years later, after those wonderful documents that said just what we saw this morning, the priesthood of the people, you know, you got two little guys taking part in the worship service. Unheard of back in the 50s. Unless he had some kind of a robe on to look like a clergy person. Louise said to me at one point, I heard her mutter to Jean, my sister, while I was standing there. She said, maybe I should get up at the table and do communion today. Because my back is killing me. Yeah, that's what we were talking about. We were talking about when we had services in homes. And we had prayer groups, and we had all kinds of study groups. We had on and on and on this great renewal that was taking place. And along came a document called Humani Vitae about birth control. And they condemned any use of birth control except the natural cycle method. Fast forward to 2017. The Spirit that supposedly inspired that document, people have voted by their way of life. And most Catholics, and I can say this with all certainty, having lived in it for 27 years, 25 years, most Catholics do what they want to do and say, to hell with that. I'm going to be real. This is my life. You're not going to tell me what to do. And so went on divorce, and so went on marriage. And you see all the different things breaking down because somebody tried to stifle the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will not be stifled. And that's not just on institutions, that's not on just the world, it's on me. Because God is not finished with any one of us. As long as we are breathing, there are still possibilities yet to be discovered. And those possibilities, if we were to know them ahead of time, would probably frighten us. I've certainly seen a lot of different changes in my life, and I'm sure you have in yours. But did you recognize the hand of the Holy Spirit working with you that changed your thought on something, that brought you a new awareness about something, that opened your mind to a possibility you never would have thought of exploring, that put someone in your life that somehow made a difference in a way you never could possibly have expected, that brought you together with a group of people that somehow gave you an awareness that you never had before, or just simply in the simplicity of your own life that somehow you found the courage to deal with something that you never thought you could get through. That's the Spirit of God. That's the creative spirit that continues to work in the universe. And that is why we're celebrating today. Brothers and sisters, we are never finished. And no one of us knows the whole truth. Even I don't know the whole truth. In fact, I may be standing here being totally wrong. But for now, I say trust the Spirit within you. Look for guidance in your life. Be surprised by what may happen today, tomorrow, or the next day, that you never would have expected. And don't brush it aside, but recognize that your life has been touched by the flapping wings of the Spirit of God. Don't ever sell yourself short. That God loves you. Amen. Lord, you know that If we could understand more fully your appreciation of who we are, and if we somehow appreciated the fact that your Spirit has never, ever left the breath that we breathe every day, that we might be more comfortable in our own skin and maybe more comfortable enough to witness what we ourselves have experienced in our lives to those around us who may need it. We pray that the things that have happened to us in our lives, the hurtful things, will be healed, that we will be able to forgive, that we will have the grace to let go and somehow just define ourselves in new ways, discovering new things and open to new possibilities. The possible, the future, the unknown are always scary. But we've been through how many possibilities, unknowns, and the future. That's all behind us. And here we are, hopefully trusting more and more in the possibility that you indeed are active in our lives. Give us the eyes to recognize your presence and others. Give us the wisdom to look around and recognize that we are one human family on this earth. Give us the depth of spirituality that doesn't settle for easy answers to some of the situations and conflicts in our world, but look beyond into the spirit of humanity, into the spirit of the divinity, to see new possibilities. Remove from us those things that blind us. Remove from us the judgments we have made before that we seem somehow we need to defend again and again, as opposed to letting go. Give us an understanding of our brothers and sisters in this world. Without conversation, we know little about each other. Without openness of heart and mind, we remain just strangers. Help us to be guests to all those who invade our life, who come into our days, and welcome them with what they may have to offer us, because they may be your choice to somehow reach us. And we pray your Spirit upon our globe and the whole of the universe, that all the things that somehow are our reality may somehow bring us to new life, not to despair and not to trial, but to new possibilities, whatever happens. Bless all the people who most suffer, who suffer in isolation or alone, those who are desperate just to survive, as well as those of us who may be well in this world, but who still have trials and hurts and pains that you could somehow help us with. We join together with our voices and all the voices of the people of every generation of the past and all those yet to come, because for you, all of it is now, in this precious moment. And together, listen to the voices of all of us as we call you God, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.